Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I am Michael Petro. This week on the show, me and Emily are doing a real talk for you, having some real talk, if you will. We are talking, what do? We review. I give Emily a spoiler-free review. We talk about why maybe The Flash didn't do so well, and does it have to do with the movie itself? Does it have to do with certain people in the movie, perhaps? We also get into some Wes Anderson shit. He doesn't like it when people send him videos of them mimicking or copying or tributing his stuff in everyday life. It weirds him out. So we talk about, like, as someone who's made something so, like, he's an auteur. He has a style. It is that. And it speaks to us. And is it weird to not like it when someone sends it back to you in the way they see it, and so on and so forth? And then we move into Indiana Jones. It's Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny weekend, kids. Same with Asteroid City, too. Huh, who'd have thunk? Anyways, it's an Indiana Jones off. It's a Dr. Jones show. It's an indie moment. We go over our favorite Indiana Jones movies. Where were we when we first met Indy? And our worst Indiana Jones movies, which for me and Emily, like, they're not bad. They're all great. But, I mean, if you want to get critical, which we do, one of them may not be so high up on the list. And could we crack the whip? Lots of other Indiana Jones stuff. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. No major housekeeping yet. We are trying to plan a movie night in this good town of Winnipeg we are from. We will let you know about that. The only way you're going to be able to find out about that and any other things we do is to subscribe to the show on your podcast player. Right now, preferably. Go on your podcast player, hit the follow, like, subscribe, whatever option puts us in your podcast player each and every week. That would be fantastic. It's also a free way to support the show. Second, follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, The Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook, and at Real Debaters Pod, R-E-E-L, for all the spelling on Instagram and Twitter. And then RD Pod Shorts on YouTube. If you want to see us, if you want to laugh at us, if you want to make comments about what we're talking about, we do that short form content shit that everybody's brain's addicted to these days. So we're there as well at RD Pod Shorts. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. Oh, August, we're back at Movies in the Park. If that's what you do in August, every Friday we're at Movies in the Park. First night, I believe we're doing the first weekend and then the last weekend. So, like, first weekend in August and then September long weekend, I believe E.T. and Soul are playing first weekend. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and Super Mario Brothers, which, like, if you see us in the crowd and you like talking about any of these four movies, come over and share your opinion with us. If you see an empty microphone and three people sitting over on a bench somewhere chatting, feel free to come over and say hello and tell us you've listened to the show or you haven't listened to the show and what you think about Soul or E.T. or Guardians or Super Mario Brothers. Anyways, that's all I got. So I'll cue that reel and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film. 1,000 feet. 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everyone, to the official space section of the charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order. I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I am Michael Petro.
And I'm Emily Clark.
And that's all you get today. You get two of us.
Finally, the spotlight is all for me.
Right? That's what Rob said too.
It's just, of course he did.
Rob's like, I don't have to share this with anybody.
Ugh, that man needs to get out of my brain.
But yeah, the last one we did with him where he was like, I get to talk. And I was like, everybody prepare for the Rob. You're about to get robbed.
You know what? I love hate doing episodes with Rob because I know that whatever I prepare will be the exact same as what Rob prepares. So I have to either fight to go first or I have to come up with multiples. But there was even a couple where all of the multiples that I came up with were all of Rob's as well. It's really, I don't know, uncanny.
That's why he likes hanging out with you and Dan.
Yeah, exactly, because we have the same brain.
Yeah, so listener, it's the summer of the Real Debaters where we can't get everybody here at the same time. So I'm like, well, you know what? If you can't have all three of us, you're going to have two of us. And even if you don't have two of us, I might even just do one by myself one day. Who fucking knows?
We're here for it, honestly. Our fearless leader.
Oh, fuck.
Absolutely.
I will do not let me pilot anything. I was thinking of doing like a brief history of thing, maybe.
Oh, nice.
I'll tease it here. Where like I research a thing and then just read and like do some audio drops and shit and like kind of punch it up a bit where it's like a brief history of the VCR.
It's kind of like drunk history.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
With a fucking well-toasted host.
Perfect.
Michael Petro.
I love it.
Who knows? There's a trailer of things to possibly come, listener. But yeah, this week it's me, it's Emily, and it's you. And we're going to do a real talk. This one, surrounds two things. One thing we're going to talk about, because it's kind of interesting to see how filmmakers are being perceived in social media now and the tricks that can be done by us yokels and make the same thing that we've done it just as well as they have.
Demystifying.
There's a movie coming out. It's got a dial in it to our destiny. I believe Indiana Jones is the two first words in that title. And me and Emily are big Indiana Jones fans. So we're just gonna deep dive on Indy today. And then we're gonna answer the question, should Wes Anderson be pissed off that people are taking his style and doing shit on TikTok, either like an AI thing or like you went on a trip and you're like, someone did a birth video.
If Wes Anderson was the producer of my birth?
Yeah, it was like the life amniotic.
Oh my God.
Right?
I love it.
And with the doctor who was birthing the baby and then his daughter's name at the bottom, right? It was really cute. And I was like, should he be butthurt about that? Like, anyways, so those are the two things on the show that we're going to talk about. Before we get into it, though, shameless self-promotion time. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, please do so. We love subscribers. We love the more people that listen to this, because I think there's, out of eight of us, there's 1/8 of the show for you. Right? At some point or another.
Somewhere, you're going to find someone you like.
Exactly. So if you subscribe, then you're never going to miss the person you like. If you like just me and Emily, if you like Mark and me, if you want me out of the fucking studio and I hand over the keys to these people, that can happen. So the only way you're going to know about it is if you subscribe to stuff like this. Apple, Spotify, and every other fucking podcast player. Right, Emily?
Absolutely. You can find us everywhere. It's actually probably kind of annoying.
It is. Actually, if you Google us,
all over the damn place.
No, it's like super strong profile. Because no one else has a name like us.
Perfect.
So, all your podcast apps, smash it, subscribe to it, whatever you got to do. And then follow us on our social media, Real Debaters Podcast. You can find it on Facebook under the Real Debaters Podcast. Real Debaters Pod, or Real Debater Pod. Real Debaters Pod, yes, that's it. Well, long day. Real Debaters Pod on Twitter and Instagram, all spelled REEL. And then the RD Pod Shorts on YouTube, where you can see Emily.
Yes, you can. Live and in Technicolor.
And just clips of the show for you 30-second to minute content hookers and hounds out there for that short fucking... it's so hard to make short-form content when you like a three-hour movie.
You know, I agree, but it's also, you got to remember, people are watching it at work, right? They can only look away for so long.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I can take away the cubicle blues... with one dumb video, or you can, then I think we've done our fucking job. So.
There you go, guys. I hope we make your workday a little more tolerable.
Yeah, one really funny movie conversation at a time. But in August, me, Emily, and Jimmy did these last year, and they were a lot of fun. We're not going to do them the way we did them last year, which was back-to-back movies. That was a bad idea.
It was difficult. I don't think it was bad. I think it was fun, but it wasn't quite palatable.
There was lots of time where I was like, fuck it, I'm not even gonna cut this, because it's just funny that we're like, oh yeah, we're doing a podcast. Like, we just zoned right out at the end of the show.
Just talked right through the whole movie.
But yeah, we're gonna be at Movies in the Park at Assiniboine Park in Winnipeg. Selected dates, so you gotta subscribe to our social media and the show to find out when. And there'll be like a table with a bunch of microphones. And if you're so inclined, I think you said you wanted to run around and do like, come on over. Like, you were going to like megaphone this shit or something.
We had a couple people come over and talk to us on the mics, and that was so much fun.
Your kids included.
Yes, my kids included. And you know what? We are always so excited to see people who know who the hell we are, which is amazing. Like, if you come up to us at that movie and go like, oh my God, I've listened to your podcast, we're probably all going to fangirl, fanboy over you, to be honest.
Exactly.
So come do that.
Come do that. Make us feel good. You'll have a good time. You can express your shit on the show if you want. And then if you're like, I don't like that, I'll be like, I promise I'll edit it. I'm not going to make strangers sound like assholes on the show.
Unless you are an asshole, then... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Then we're going to hang you in public. We're going to make you the main character of your story on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this, like, there's Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, there's some...
Ant-Man Quantumania.
I love Ant-Man.
E.T.?
Nice.
Turning Red, which I loved.
I love that movie too. There's going to be lots of good ones.
I have no reason to love that movie, and I love that movie.
Oh, except that it's awesome.
Well, yeah, that. Yeah. But like, I mean, it's not for me, right? But when you get the audience that's not for the film, you fucking win. But yeah, so you can check the schedule out. Movies in the Park, Assiniboine Park, every Friday in August. So if you see the banner and you see the table, don't be shy. Do what Emily says.
She'll come
over and just pull you over.
Yeah,
strong
exactly.
arm you into a fucking microphone.
I'm small, but I'm annoying.
Anyways, enough about that shit. Let's step off this mortal coil. What'd you watch?
Oh, okay. So I am going to do one TV show and one movie, because
you can do whatever you want, because there's only two of us.
Because there's only two of us. Absolutely. Okay, so the first thing that I've watched, and I'm pretty sure I may have talked about this before, but I have been going through a lot of just stuff at work, and it's been really, really busy. And so these are the times when I like to rewatch the things that make my heart happy. And whether or not I've mentioned this one before,
easy watching,
and like they massage that little part of my brain, you know, where it's all memory. Anyway, Bob's Burgers. So I think everyone in my house is probably so tired of Bob's Burgers, because I think I've watched all of the seasons now. I get to the end of season 7 or whatever it is, and I just like go back to season 1, and it's just running in the background, like making me feel good.
It's charging up that dopamine.
Yeah, exactly. Just giving me dopamine hit after dopamine hit. So I've been watching a lot of that. So if you haven't watched Bob's Burgers, A, what the hell? And B, go do that.
I started it just like everybody did, because I always forget this guy's name. It's like an F. Murray Abraham, the guy who does the lead voice.
Yeah, the guy from Archer.
Archer,
yeah.
I knew him on, what was it, Short Movies or whatever, where he was like McGurk, the gym teacher.
Okay.
Home Movies, that's it. I think it was on YTV
maybe
late night YTV or early like Comic Channel, right?
Yeah.
Either way, that's what drug me into him. But then I fell off. So like I don't like it's essentially just a family making burgers,
fun.
Right?
Yeah, you know what? And it's just everything about the family. Like they're dysfunctional, but they love each other, and they've got the hormonal like teenage girl, and like Louise, their daughter, the younger daughter, is 9, and she's just like my daughter Lily. She's insane. She is always plotting something and like gonna take over the world. And then they're the like middle kid Gene, who's just kind of, he's a musician and he's always kind of just like goofing off. And honestly, the family loves each other. The husband and wife dynamic is beautiful. The like parent and kid dynamic's beautiful. They've got all their kooky friends and like their townies that are around them, like a crazy landlord named Mr. Fishoder, who's played by Kevin Kline.
And shut up.
Yes, yeah, lots of good little bits in there that fall into place. It's a beautiful show. It's so funny. It's 22 minute episodes, and the characters, I don't know, I just can't not fall in love with them. So I'm fully invested in their life now.
Who's your favorite? Like, hard questions.
Well, I think it's Linda.
Really?
I think it's, yeah.
That's Mom, right?
That's Mom, yeah. And
the new Marge.
Yeah, but they have
a
much more balanced relationship than Marge and Homer. You know, they're much more like
Homer doesn't make deposits; he just makes transactions.
Yeah, he just makes withdrawals. Yeah,
yeah, withdrawals. That's
exactly.
It.
So they're much more balanced, and I don't know. I feel like Linda just parents the way that I do, which is not always
push them out of the nest and hope they fly.
Well, yeah, not always in the most like well thought out way, but with a lot of like love and singing.
Whatever works.
Yeah. So I guess I see myself in Linda, and she's a total hilarious mom. So So Bob's Burgers has definitely been doing my brain good.
Is that supercharging you for Deadpool?
Oh yeah, Deadpool.
Because I mean, that's the two head writers.
Yeah, you know what? Deadpool.
Awesome that they're female, but the two head writers of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you know what? Different does different things, different places in my brain.
Yeah,
but Deadpool is awesome, and I can't wait to see the next one.
Yep. I just want to see what like a half hour animated sitcom can do for.
Yeah,
because I know the humor's smart, the humor's quick. It's all zingers, right? But it's like it's within that family dynamic that it's relatable, as opposed to Family Guy, which is way too over the top.
Yes, it's super relatable, and it just is, it's like nice, you know? You just want to see a wholesome, I mean, and it's not always wholesome. The content sometimes is a little bit funny and like off the, but like.
So's life.
Yeah, but it's wholesome in the sense that like, oh, look, you get a loving family who like isn't necessarily normal, quote unquote, but definitely like at the core, they love each other and they look after each other. And I don't know. It's sometimes nice to see that in just, I don't know, feel good.
I get it. I get it. It's the Ted Lasso effect. It's writing a show where your protagonists have faults and they experience relatable situations and come out the end better for it, but still with enough humility that you can laugh at them.
Right, exactly. And at the end of the day, like, they screw shit up all the time, but they basically just love each other.
Yeah.
And so that it feels nice. And you know what? My daughter, Lily, the one who's like Louise that I just called crazy, she loves the show too. So it's a nice thing for us to do together. She doesn't always get all of the humor, but she sees herself in Louise. So I'm allowed to say that. And And I think she sees the family dynamic in us, and so she enjoys watching that with me.
Sweet. How many double cheeseburgers?
It's like burgers of the day are his big thing. Oh, his burger of the day every day is a pun, a food related pun.
Of course it is.
So that's why it's good. You know what?
Give me one of them.
Okay, let me think. There was the. I was just watching it. Oh no, there was something about time. The runny out of time burger, which was a runny egg with time on the burger.
Yeah. Are his burgers delectable? Do the people in the area like the
burgers? Apparently, they're very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he definitely is good at what he does, but they're not particularly
much else.
They're not particularly successful.
Okay.
And it's just a small business. They're always struggling.
I sympathize with that.
Yeah, man. I think that's the idea. Everyone does. They're not like. You know, winning the war.
Batting 1,000.
No. And there's a guy with a Italian restaurant across the street. That,
yes,
like,
that's it.
Jimmy,
I thought it was a hot dog restaurant.
Jimmy Pesto's. Yeah. And so,
of course.
And they make shitty food, but like they're always busy. So, you know, and they have a rivalry. So, honestly, I love Bob's Burgers. I think it's a perfect show. I wouldn't change a single thing about it. Even in the, it's holding
Even
steady.
Even with its rewatch and everything.
Yeah, and it's holding steady right through into the seasons that it's in right now. So, like 10 burgers of the day out of 10. Absolutely. I would.
Out of the park.
Yeah. Like it's a perfect show.
What is a movie?
Oh, my God. Okay. So I had to make sure that I got this right because we watched this movie on the weekend and it is called The Black Demon.
Oh boy.
Yes.
The title alone is taking me to a place.
I just want to acknowledge I did not look it up before I watched it. I didn't even look it up before now just to make sure I got the name right.
Yeah.
It critically panned like across the board. It seems like nobody liked it. I loved it. This is going to probably be surprising to absolutely no one. I love bad movies. I love.
They have a home.
So this movie is about a shark, a really big fucking shark.
Meg.
Like a megalodon kind of thing. Yeah. And so without sort of too much in the way of spoilers.
Oh, really? You're not going to spoil this one? You're waiting
sorry,
for the
everybody.
Other people who might like
the
it?
The one other person who might watch it.
Okay.
So there is like a drilling rig out in the middle of the ocean and it's leaking and it's been like leaking forever. And the guy who signs, who's like from this company, goes out to, like his company sends him out to like check on the rig. And basically the rig has been attacked by this monster fucking demon shark. And like everybody's dead except for like one or two guys. And the gist of it is that they've, by this thing, this rig leaking has like angered the gods. And the gods have sent this megalodon death demon shark
wow.
to like even the score.
Philosophical.
Holy moly. And so it's.
Is that hard in the plot? Like they're like the gods, like do you see the gods?
No, you don't. But it's like.
Heavily implied.
It's off the coast of Mexico somewhere. And so there's like the guys on the rig who are just like, you know, this is what it is. And so somehow, not important how, but the kid, El Diablo. his kids and his wife end up on the rig with him. And so it's like, basically he's just like, don't be ridiculous. And his wife is like, I think they're right. Like blah, blah, blah. Anyway, a whole bunch of stuff ensues. And in my estimation, it was a very predictable ending. I have this thing with Dan where I ask him if it's okay, and then if he says yes, I will say my prediction, and I'm really good at it, and so that's why I ask for consent first, because I don't want to ruin movies, but I predicted the movie ending, like the big twist, probably about 25 minutes in.
That's a big call.
But it
Shauna
was...
Shauna does that too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a female thing.
What if you don't say it out loud and then you are right? And then you're just saying, oh, I knew it, but like nobody knows you knew it
yeah.
except for you. And that's
you don't like to be fooled.
No, I don't get fooled again.
Fuck.
But anyway, it was so much fun. If you like sharks...
Is it in Sharknado world? Like, are we talking... Or is it bigger? What do you think the budget is? Guess.
I would say the budget is probably maybe about the same, maybe a little bit higher than Sharknado.
Okay.
And the believability factor is higher.
Really?
I'm more likely to believe this, like Black Demon, than Sharknado.
Negro Diablo.
Yeah. So, but
that's
let's
dark demon if that's translated properly.
But to be clear, the believability factor of both of them is very low.
Okay.
But out of the
between
options,
the two.
Yeah. The black demon one, the believability is higher, and the acting was okay. There was some of the acting was better than others.
How deep down in IMDb did you have to go to see who was acting?
You know what? Like, I recognized the guy, but I don't know what from.
Okay.
Hang on. Yeah, Josh Lucas.
What the fuck? Really?
But I don't remember what I recognized him from.
Josh, like, Josh.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Like, Josh Lucas as in, like, the older.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Yellowstone. Glory Road, yeah.
He's in The Black Demon.
Yes, he is.
Is he the only named actor in The Black Demon? Do we know anybody else?
Okay, hang on. Let me check. He's got a very familiar face. To be fair, he was not good. He was the worst out of all of them, I think. His wife is someone named Fernanda Urriola.
Okay.
The teenage.
Areola.
Yeah, Urriola. The teenage daughter's name
Jalapeno.
Is Venus Ariel.
Okay.
And then there's some, like, yeah, so it's pretty much, like, no name across the board.
But Josh, I love how you were like, Josh Lucas, Sweet Home Alabama?
Sweet Home Alabama.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty much.
That's what I recognize him from.
No, Yellowstone, he's the older Dunn.
Yes, yeah.
Dunning or whatever. The show's gone from my life now, so the names are gone, too.
It's over.
Yeah, I'm sad for Josh.
He was not good. Like, you know, honestly,
paycheck
when I was,
movie?
When I was going to say, like, some of the actors were good, like, some of them really were, he was not. He was pretty bad. But the rest of them were actually pretty good. The kids were, there was, like, a teenage daughter and, like, a preteen kind of son, and they were really good. The wife was really convincing as well, but he was just, yeah.
Who wins in the end?
I don't want to give it away. In the end.
Okay, I'm going to make a deal right now. If anybody watches this and like is upset that Emily spoiled it for you, I will figure something out.
How about this? In the end, as all gods do,
oh God,
they demand a sacrifice to be placated. Yeah,
that's very like Incan, very
absolutely. Yeah, and so there's that kind of goes along the yeah.
Okay,
but yeah. So I mean, if you like sharks. Which I do.
It's a pretty big net you're casting there, no pun intended.
Yep. If you like sharks.
If you like Shark Week.
If you like nonsense. It was a lot of fun. And there was not a single second in the movie where I was like, I wish I wasn't watching this. So.
Hey, and you know what? That's all you ask for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it was like a solid five. Five megalodons summoned by angry gods out of 10.
And Mexican, like, Mexican lore, Mexican gods?
I think it was, yeah. It was, like...
Or Catholic
Mexican
gods.
No, not Catholic gods. Just, like, Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just, like these, and a fucking megalodon.
She's
no.
Like, you fucked with me back then. I'm going to fuck with you now, essay.
Yeah.
I send you a black shark.
Nope, he was a white shark, to be fair. I don't know
was
why
it
they call him black.
Okay.
No,
the black demon.
Yeah. Anyway, it was...
The great black shark?
Not a good movie, but it was super enjoyable. For me.
Okay. I'll do a TV show and a movie.
Oh, yeah. Great idea. Whoever thought of that is super smart.
Yeah. Tell that guy, give him a pat on the back. I will do my show first. Black Mirror is so good.
Oh, I haven't watched the new season yet.
It's fucking fantastic. What they've done is they're now leaving us with like one or two breadcrumbs to get to the danger of society and technology.
Oh, yep.
Instead of like 20 or 30 years away. Joan is Awful is the first episode. Selma Hayek, Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek.
Selma Hayek
is fucking... Oh, Selma Hayek actually says, does my bleached asshole get a say in this? the bit is that Annie Murphy's character is this kind of... Not even like a horrible person, just someone who's been captured in the wrong light. And they sit down at home to watch a show on Streamberry, which has the exact same da-dong that Netflix does.
Yeah.
The bit's great. They sit down to watch an episode of Streamberry, which has a show called Everyone Hates Joan. Joan is Awful, sorry. She looks at it, and the main character is Selma Hayek, who's dressed identical to Annie Murphy at home. And what ends up unfolding is she's watching a streaming show about her life as it's happened.
Ugh.
So it's like 2 or 3 hours behind. And what the cause of it was she didn't read the terms and conditions when she signed on to Streamberry. And one of the terms and conditions was they own your likeness.
So holy crap.
I don't want to ruin where it goes, but it's about AI. It's about the writer's strike. And this was done like a year ago.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the crazy
it's too
thing.
Creepy for me.
Like it's too creepy that right now a streaming site in its terms and conditions in this show takes away your rights to your likeness and they can do whatever you want. And then they end up finding out how deep it goes, and then she tries to track down Salma Hayek, and then she starts to do ridiculous things that she knows they may not want to put on their show.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
That's what
like,
I would do.
Cuz she's
probably.
Like, "Are you going to fuck with me? I'm going to fuck right back." It's super dystopian. Charlie Brooker's fantastic.
I can't wait to see it.
It really starts off well. Like it's a bang. It's a perfect episode. It's like 1 hour and 10. But he's very much back. I can't wait to watch the Aaron Paul episode. There's like 4 or 5 cameos alone in the first episode that
yeah,
you're like,
really,
are you fucking kidding
really
me?
They really went for it this season from
they
what
did.
I've read.
They did.
I don't have Netflix anymore.
Oh.
We decided not to renew our Netflix.
The shouting Nazi didn't make it to your home?
No, it did not. And it was just, it was too much. You know, our kids go back and forth, right? We have, they've got two houses. In some way. They're with their dad and then they're with us. And so by default, they wouldn't be able to use their Netflix account when, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were just like, well, this is stupid. The main people that watch Netflix are our kids. So, yeah, we just canceled our account.
Come over for a watch party. You
oh,
and
yeah. I'm sure I'll get my hands on it somehow.
Yeah, in this day and age with all this technology, I'm sure you'll find a way.
Yeah.
But no, it's really good. And I'm so happy. We did a whole episode about this, me, Charles, and Ian, where we're like, what's your favorite Black Mirror episode? What
yeah.
technology? Which one do you hope would happen? Like, there are some things in
there's
it.
There's some, like, happy Black Mirror episodes, ones that kind of feel nice.
Melancholy, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
but
not happy, but
what's
melancholy.
What's the one? San Juniper or Saint
San
Juniper?
San Junipero.
Yeah, I liked that one.
So there are Easter eggs in the first episode of this season that play back to San Junipero.
Okay, nice.
And that one was so beautiful.
Yeah, see, like...
Like virtual reality, but a getaway to be able to be yourself.
Yeah, especially when you're like, when your body kind of breaks down.
Yeah, and the virtual reality is like, ah, fuck, look at... 20-year-old
yeah,
now,
exactly.
Right?
Like it's like the holodeck on in Deep Space Nine. It's like it's for fucking
the holodeck.
The holodeck's for fucking.
That's hilarious, and I've never even thought of the holodeck as a place to fuck.
That's only on Deep Space Nine for some reason. When you're in like a tin like rust bucket in the middle of nowhere, that is what the holodeck's for.
Fuck you, Trekkies! I tell you, you guys are sick fucks. I give it like I'm gonna give it a solid 7.5 out of.
Oh,
I give it 7.5. Oh my God, my future's coming this way out of 10.
You like, should just maybe unsubscribe from Netflix so they can't use your likeness.
But that's the great thing is that, and then there's this syndrome happening right now. They call it main character syndrome. I've been reading like the director's interview with this. I've been reading Charlie Brooker's interview with it because I'm just like, where does your mind go? You're like The Simpsons, Charlie Brooker. You call a thing a year before it happens,
yeah.
And then it's in your show.
But main character syndrome, it was like everyone thinks that they're just like the main character of their own story.
They do.
Yeah.
And then what ends up happening is that when you fuck up, you're the main character of the fuck up just as much as you're the main character of the perfect life.
Yeah.
So they're playing on so many different levels of so many different topical ideas right now with technology. And he's like, I don't think technology is bad. I'm just saying everything we've made so far with technology, not that great. Right?
Yeah.
Like, what have we made that's...
Precedent says.
Like, technology besides, like, you know, being able to farm in a better way, right?
Even like, that, like, you know, mass farming, especially when it comes to, like, agricultural production of animals.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, how is our technology so geared towards making a better camera on a phone and not making animal, like, farming animals better for everybody?
Yeah.
Like, can we not take the power we want to make ourselves addicted to something with and make it for...
I want to put a plug in here. I'm still waiting for lab-grown meat. Lab-grown meat. I want to not...
What the fuck was that in?
I would love
that was in Westworld. They did lab-grown meat.
I'd love to not be a vegetarian. I'd love to eat chicken, but not... You know, I'd love to eat steak, but not when it's, like, farmed through sadness and, like, torture.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Lab-grown meat.
I'll eat it. I'll guinea pig the shit out of me.
Send it my way.
Make a Black Mirror episode out of it, and then it'll happen.
Yeah, please. Right? Make a Simpsons episode out of it.
Yeah, 7.5. Oh, my fucking God. Here comes my future out of 10s for sure. And then the movie.
Movie.
The Flash. I saw The Flash and I saw Transformers within like the last 4 days.
Because
I'm like, I can't live this summer out and then all of a sudden feel all the pressure to watch it in like a condensed way. I'm like, I'm going to go for the role in the theater.
Tell me about The Flash. Tell me about Ezra Miller specifically. Didn't he have like a mental break?
It's such a touchy subject because like there's the side of the argument where it's like, hey, you have a transgendered person in a lead role in a big budget Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's great.
That's fucking great.
Are they transgendered or are they just non-binary? Not just, or are they non-binary?
I'm bad at this, so I'm going to go he refers to himself as a they, which I always fuck up.
So they refer themselves as they. They are they, so they are non-binary.
Ezra is a they.
Yes, they are non-binary.
That's it.
Okay.
So that's awesome. Because that's Warner Brothers being like, not what anybody would think Warner Brothers would do after all the shit with Johnny Depp and everything. I also think on the flip side of that, the dark side of Warner Brothers is like, we have to see this through because they'll be chewed alive if they decide to remove him like they've removed everybody in the past for their outside of work misgivings. I don't know enough on either side. I think the shit has like just basically gone to he'll serve probation and the studio's got a short leash with him. Yeah, there was some kidnapping per se with someone he met through a charity event, and like there's a lot of shit there. He attacked a woman, right? Like, but I mean,
but who hasn't? Come on,
what I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
I haven't actually.
Thank
I swear
God.
I haven't.
Neither have I. Imagine that.
But it's hard because I want like I think what he does is shitty. It's not like I go to the movies and I'm like absolved of your fucking idiocy.
Yeah.
I just go to the movies to get away from your idiocy, actually, is why I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
here to
want...
see you do a thing that's the opposite of the idiot you are. I'll go back to not agreeing with what you did over here, but right now I want to be entertained.
So their performance in whatever the DC movie is that they were in as The Flash was really good.
Justice League?
Justice League.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. So
he's quirky. He's funny.
So tell me more about...
Okay, so you have two Barrys.
Right.
You have Barry, who's the anxiety-ridden, like, guilt-stricken, trying to get my dad out of jail, Barry. Then you have that Barry figure out how time travel works. Which is heavily based on Flashpoint, I think, which is the comic book series. That's a Mark thing, not me. he somehow realizes he could change time and have his mother come back and live in a world where his mom is, right? So that's his cornerstone. So when he does that, he breaks all the laws of time. Back to the Future jokes ensue, right? Like, and the comedy of it is amazing because he meets Barry like 5 years earlier, I think.
Oh, fun.
And that Barry is like Bill and Ted Barry. Like a stoner.
I love it.
Like an idiot Barry. And
excellent.
It is more fun to watch the two of them act off each other than it is to watch him interact with anybody else.
Oh,
I really loved the two of them. I loved Barry Squared.
I'm looking forward to it. Like across the board, really looking forward to it.
It's full of action. The CGI is a little weak in some spots. It's blurry. But I mean, that's the way DC... You know what? I just think that's how DC makes a movie.
Is it enough to pull you out of the...
No.
Okay,
no.
Then who cares?
No. It's a Michael Batman-a-thon after 50 minutes. He's in the latter part of the movie. Huge role. There's cameos for days. There's cameos that like, okay, is Wonder Woman in it? And like, I don't want to ruin this for you.
Yeah.
But there's so much, there's the cameos that you never even thought were coming.
Oh, that's great.
That are complete fan service are insane.
Oh, gotta love it.
Insane. Like there is a feel good moment at the end. And Andy Muschietti, I forgot, he did It. That's his other big budget blockbuster. So he did a really good job. He understood the assignment. He knew people were going to be like, if you don't give us Batman the proper way, we're going to fucking sue. We're going to storm the castle gates. Right? Like pitchforks and flaming torches. And I, as Batman 89 is my Batman. There's a giant Joker in here from a Pepsi commercial. I ignored the Batman. I wanted the Joker. Like there's a lot of things that happen in that movie that will never leave my brain. And so I was like, treat my toy with care.
Yeah. You want to feel the nostalgia, but you want something new.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, honestly, especially for a generation of such like picky viewers. So it's exciting to hear that went.
It goes really well. And then like all of the jokes ensue of like Barry's like, well, this is what I did over here. And like the Batman there is like, well, you shouldn't have done that. Just like the Batman over here was like, this is a bad idea. Like all Batmans are still Batman. Supergirl's awesome.
Nice.
She's Kal-El's cousin, so it's still in the bloodline. It's just, what if Kal-El's cousin came instead of Kal-El?
Yeah.
What else? You don't really have a new bad. Like, Zod is the bad guy.
Okay. Which makes sense. I can dig it.
But it's Zod with a different, with a mission adjacent to the mission that he has. So the real bad guy's time. The real bad guy's the lack.
Which comes for us all.
Yeah. And there's so much like metaphor and just, he really does a good job.
I have a question. Why do you think it's not doing well in box office?
I think it's not doing well because haters gonna hate, right? They're gonna, the way we now know to attack the bad people is to take away the money. And
So you think it's specifically targeted at Ezra Miller?
I think it's targeted at Ezra Miller 100%.
Okay.
I think the parents who are, here's the problem. And this is me in my opinion, and I talk out my ass a lot of the time, so if you disagree with me, that's totally fine. I think the parents who are cool with him, with them, I think aren't going because they're not cool with what they did.
Oh, I see. So you think that there's a double whammy. Like there's people who aren't exposing their kids to them because they are non-binary, and then there's people who are choosing not to go see the movie because of their past actions.
Yes.
Ah, bummer. I mean, not necessarily a bummer all the way, but I understand.
That's so you lost so many demographics.
Right.
Because of their actions. Wow, I'm doing really good. Because of their actions that now it's comic book nerds.
Yeah.
Who are still going to go.
Yeah.
Or people who can have some idea of holding two different opposing opinions and being like, listen, he's did some bad shit. I also believe in, you know, he's in changing his life around. He didn't really beat the living crap out of anybody. Tried to choke a woman. I mean, that's horrific. That's not fun, but I'm sure with time and therapy and talking that will go away and probably be a funny story at a dinner party that Ezra Miller went nuts and choked me once. Like, right.
Maybe.
But I hope so. I hope that's where it gets
to.
The point is that's why I don't think it's doing well.
Yeah, okay.
Sadly.
That makes sense.
Because it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a 7. It's easily a 7. It's a 10 out of 10 for Batman. And that alone, like, they play his music. The Batwing is fully in this.
That's cool.
There's like long pause shots of when like the cover comes off the Batmobile.
I do appreciate that aspect of these movies, that they're all so intertwined with each other that you get a lot of Batman in a Flash movie. Like that's great. I enjoy that.
And it's like, that's what Marvel characters do. Random Marvel characters team up with random Marvel characters. So like, the fact that it's taken this long to like the Justice League, yes, what happened happened, and really ultimately it's so sad because it, like, Zack Snyder can't direct a movie when his daughter kills herself. Like, you just, like, that's so sad, right?
Of course,
to have something that tragic happen to him, but then also lose what he like loves, like he loved making those movies,
yeah,
and to watch it just have this really shitty send off is missing out because, like, let's be real here. He's fake. Like, what we're watching isn't a reflection of reality, and what he's doing in his life is the complete opposite of what his character's doing.
Yeah.
So, like, you can go and tell your kids, hey, listen, like, if you think that the crimes they committed are bad, you can have that conversation. And then also go see a dumb movie about a guy who can run really fast.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
It is.
But I think I will very likely see it. Yes.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah.
They're a very
good
actor.
You know, there's a lot of, you live right on the edge there, right? With reality, I think, in some cases with actors. Not that that's in any way, shape, or form excusing those kind of behaviors.
No.
But you definitely hear that, you know, about actors.
When you lose yourself in characters and you really think the method way is the right way to go, then yeah, you definitely play with your mental health.
Yeah.
And all that shit.
Yep.
But yeah, like, go see it and just enjoy it for what it, go see it for Batman. It's fucking, it's a Batman movie. Like, it really is. Cause as soon as Batman steps on screen, he's the guy in charge. He's the one doing everything. And they just everything he says is like what you'd want to hear.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and it's Daddy Batman. And he's gray Batman.
That's so great.
Right. And like he's old looking. Like they're like, no makeup.
I love that. I love that. Like,
just Michael Keaton coming on set.
Characters need to age, right? That's perfect.
Well, and it gives there's a little bit of the Frank Miller shit where like it's the drunk older Batman.
Nice.
Not the kind Batman, but he's still Batman. And then when he talks, he's got the same bravado and the same like kookiness that he had when he'd converse with, you know, Kim Basinger in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Like all of the goofy tuxedo shit is still very much there.
Oh, nice.
So that much you'll enjoy. Anyways, yes, so that's plus like Alone. Go watch Alone if you haven't started Alone. It's fucking insane. It's in Northern Saskatchewan.
That show's wild. Dan loves that show.
Listener, if you've never heard of it, you've probably heard me talk about it, but 10 to 16 people compete. Nobody knows when the other ones quit and they have to survive in the wilderness until they're the last one remaining.
And they can bring like 10 items or something.
Limited kit.
It's off of a list and it's nothing useful. I mean, it is, but not really.
It's for like those people.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Like
and some of them are crazy. Like, I've seen some seasons where they just hunker down and like they can live forever.
They really, when they get going, they are so happy. Some of these people.
Yeah.
I wish I could be that happy.
Sometimes they have months and months and months that it goes on. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
Over the winter. In some cases.
Well, they start like in October.
Yeah.
Like they're not being easy on you.
Yeah.
And
with freaking bears and I don't know. Ugh.
Oh, the first one, 3 bear sightings.
Yeah.
But everybody got food in the first one. I was blown away. Like everyone,
really?
First crack, like they're like, I'm not going to build my shelter. I'm just going to go get some food. And like guy goes out, builds like a fishing net out of wire, catches a fish. Another guy does free, like the line throwing, pulls in a fish. I'm just like, where are you? Like, and it's Northern Saskatchewan, so it might as well be Northern Manitoba.
Yeah.
Because it looks the same. But that's my other
never
one.
In a million years. I don't even like camping.
No?
No. I would just
you're
simply
a glamper, aren't you?
I would simply die. No, I have a cabin. I don't want anything to do with camping.
Wow.
I bought a cabin. I don't want.
What's it like up there?
You know what? It's a cheap cabin, to be
sure,
fair.
Sure, whatever.
But if I didn't have a cabin, I still wouldn't go camping. I don't want to sleep on
the
ground.
That's funny.
Heck no.
Yeah, I have cot. I can't sleep on the ground. So like, I'll meet in the middle and be like, I can sleep on a cot all night long.
The only way I can sleep in a tent is if I'm at a music festival. I'm just like blitzed out of my mind and I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it's ever going to happen again.
And that's why everybody's so blitzed out of their mind at music festivals.
Yeah, because you have to sleep on the fucking ground. It's just not my thing. I don't like it. And I'm not like, I'll do it if I have to, mostly when I'm like hiking and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not scared of getting dirty or like any of that stuff. I just, I like sleep and I don't want to fuck with my sleep. That's all.
No, I get it. And like this guy made like a bed out of like pine boughs.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, this is so comfy. I'm like, you're fucking crazy, man. Do you know how many, no other people think that's comfy.
Yeah. Like it's poking you so hard. Like this, you're just getting stabbed.
Like it's comfy for the situation, but it's not universally comfy.
I'm like watching it on my bed at home and I'm like, oh man, I should go get another pillow maybe. Like, I don't know. Yeah, no.
Not your jam.
Can't deal with it.
Let's talk about other stuff that is your jam.
Oh, like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go, listener. Watch everything. Watch The Black Demon.
Yeah.
And watch Bob's Burgers. I'm going to put Bob's Burgers on now in the background.
Absolutely.
That's going to be my new background.
Don't at me, though, when you watch Black Demon and you hate it. But I did tell you, it's not a good movie. But it's fun. And you should still watch it.
And watch The Flask. The fastest
drink
ever. Go watch The Flash. Give Ezra a chance. And if you like nature shows, Alone should be your shit. And Black Mirror for days, baby. So let's open up the floor here and start this shit. Let's start with Indiana. Actually, no. Let's get Wes out of the way so that we have more time here. I think Rob shared some of these in the chat group is kind of where I started seeing
where it. He sent a couple of videos where it was like the Wes Anderson style. And it's like, Art My Vacation, Wes Anderson. Like,
yeah, but he was sending ones where like if Wes Anderson did Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if Wes Anderson did Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. I remember the Star Wars one, yeah.
Right? And I was like, but I think those are AI. Because if you look closely at them, they're still Uncanny Valley, right? It's not...
Yeah. Although the fact that we have to say, I think it's AI, is a little bit crazy. Like, we should know. We should know this stuff. I don't like it. But anyway, yeah.
Question is that I read an article that when Wes Anderson, whenever someone's like, hey, look, someone's doing your thing, he instantly deletes it and doesn't watch it. That he doesn't want to see anything that's remotely close to what he does out in the world because he says, I'm human. What if one day I actually do it? And then it's not. Like, is it, he doesn't want to see how he sees the world.
So I have my opinion on this kind of stuff. When people get like really protective of their like style of something, you know, like
sure.
At a certain point when you become ubiquitous, when you are so well known that
word of the day calendar at home right now. Or what?
Yeah, I love that word.
I do
that,
too.
That your name is associated with a specific thing. And in this case, it's a specific style, right? And it's very obvious. It's very tangible. You can identify a Wes Anderson style a million miles away. There's that becomes in some way, shape or form, like part of the public domain. Like it's part of all of our psyche, our consciousness, right? We understand what Wes Anderson means. Like, so when we go in to watch a Wes Anderson movie, we understand what that movie on a high level is going to feel and look and even possibly sound like. And so to create parody of that is just something that I think comes along with being the most recognizable in your game, whatever that is, right? And so all of that being said, that's from a position of like, I'm not the most anything of anyone and ever. And so like, maybe if I was, if my version of something was the most, you know, and you could say Emily Clark and anyone,
so extra.
Anyone in the whole world would know, bam, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because then maybe I would feel more protective of that thing. But just as a person, as a consumer, as it seems like you're trying to hold on to something that is, it's already too far gone. It's already bigger than you.
Yeah, it's too big to fail.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, but it's an adjective now. Wes Anderson is an adjective. It's a description.
You Wes Andersoned it.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. And so it's like...
But better.
And so you've made something that's, yeah, that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
And trying to keep it to the size of you is fruitless.
Well, yeah, because then, I mean, that it's easy to say that should just be something you do for yourself, right? Like, if you really do covet it that much.
Yeah.
You know, I can totally see it because, like, if you live a life out here, out where we all are, where we're watching and consuming it, eventually some point, yeah, enough people are on a long enough timeline because a movie is a standalone.
Right, yeah.
Right? If a series goes by, then you never watched it, it's kind of the times of what was being, you know, talked about in news and media and whatnot, like Friends, right? If you missed Friends, unless it's rerun on something.
If you're watching it for the first time now, it's not going to have the same impact on you that it did when we were kids.
But a Wes Anderson film is going to last 50 fucking 100 years.
Yep.
Right? Because it is so ubiquitous.
Yeah, see?
It's so unlike anything.
It's so unique, so what's the word? It's like so unique and so like obviously that. So obviously Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
That it's, I don't know. I also struggle with people taking themselves too seriously. And again,
I'm working on that with myself.
Again, I'm not making money off of my ability to like create something that people love and want to consume. Right? That's not me, and that's not my life. And maybe if I was, I would be more protective of my art or whatever it is, and maybe I would take myself more seriously. But life is so short, and shit is so stupid that like it feels like it's so much effort to take yourself seriously and to then try to enforce that other people also take you seriously is, to me, that's just way off the deep end.
Well, and who's to say that this isn't some like huge, I need to keep my Wes Anderson cover up in the public eye. Like if we got him one-on-one and was like, dude, do you really not, like, you're human. Okay. I don't think you've ever not seen it. I think you probably just made a deal with yourself as of now. You won't anymore. But like,
I like that idea. So the idea being like, he doesn't actually care. But like Wes Anderson cares. but like the character of Wes Anderson cares, but he doesn't actually care.
Right.
I kind of like that idea.
Because that industry is about perception and what you're putting out there. So if all the media is thinking this one way and you're being able to do your own, like that's there's a lot of that stuff, because it's like, well, I can live with people thinking that it irks me.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I have a threshold to be able to put up with that, because in my personal life, I'm like, I watch them and I laugh with my friends or my family or my wife or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it could be just a cover for all of us to be like, oh, that's so Wes Anderson, because he is exactly what you say. He's part of the ether.
Yeah. And we all want to feel like we know this person, but we don't.
No.
And everything that we consume is curated, right? So there's no way that Wes Anderson says something in an interview that's not what Wes Anderson wants us to think. I like that.
And I think, like, when you get a stage name, you get an alter ego, you get a persona, right? You get your Clark Kent. You know, you can hide in daylight as, like, somebody who, this is the perception I need to have for the media because I need to play into it because I can't be myself.
I love it. I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
It's true, because it's hard to sometimes not get caught up in the feeling that, like, by the sound bites and the snippets and like the information that we're given about celebrities, that we know them or we can make some sort of judgment on them as a person. But like, we don't know them at all.
No.
And so that's really interesting. I love that. I love that idea. I hope that's true.
I like them. I mean, I think when like you're getting Weird Al'd.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which also is another.
You're getting Weird Al'd. Yeah.
I just adjectived it.
Yeah, exactly. You get Wes Anderson, you get Weird Al'd. Yeah,
right.
That's 100% it.
And he does the parodying, whatever. He does the plural act of parody, and he always wins.
Yeah.
Right, because flattery or imperson, like an impression, is like the highest,
most sincere form of flattery. Yeah,
yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
So, like, I would.
No such thing as bad press, right? Hashtag Wes Anderson is all over social media.
Or like he chimes in and he's like, "Well, okay, we're gonna do this. Here's what I would have done."
Yeah.
Right, and then everyone's like, "Oh, cool, man!" Right, because like that's coming down from your mountain in Hollywood.
Yeah.
What fucking, like, James Gunn fucks around with the common man.
Yeah, that's true.
He just tweets way too much.
He's just Zeusing it up. He's going to show up in the form of a swan and like see what happens.
He fucking is the head of a goddamn studio.
Yeah.
And he's talking to like loser boy 867 in Idaho. Like, and I'm just like, man, you are going to hang yourself again. The reason you lost Guardians was because of tweets. The reason you're going to lose DC is because of more tweets. Like,
yeah, whatever, fuck it, have fun.
But you know what I mean? Like, I have the serious thing too. Like, I can get all like, you know, fucking film, right? Auteur, right?
Yeah.
I can do that. I enjoy doing that. I'm trying less to do that because I'm like, it's just a fucking movie. But like, at the same time, he is an auteur. He has a specific style.
Yes.
A specific idea. He builds worlds. Somebody smarter than me once said, it's like, Wes Anderson doesn't make movies, he makes worlds.
Love it.
And he colors them a certain way and he shoots them a certain way. And it's like, it's just the actor's job to be the story moving and very, it's all in dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And it's quick and it's interesting and but it's recognizable. And I think if that is truly what he's fighting against, I don't even know why you would want to win that battle, to be honest.
Yeah. Unless also, see, we're doing what everyone else is doing. Asteroid City's coming out.
Yes.
And I wonder if he's just trying to drum up press.
Right, because we're talking about it. We're talking about him,
right?
Because it's relevant.
Because we're trying to drum up press.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
so it makes sense. It makes sense. We're all in our little echo chamber and we want to talk about the things we want to talk about. But also, I want to put the caveat on this as well, that especially with AI, and we talk about like AI consuming like hundreds of millions of pieces of art, whatever that art is, and then like spitting it back out in a different, not quite so different way. Like, me having an opinion on that, whether it's like, I don't really care or like it's really bad, is kind of irrelevant because I'm not an artist. And so my opinion on what AI does with art, whether it's film or otherwise, it doesn't matter because I have no stake in the game whatsoever.
It's true.
And so if an artist tells me, Wes Anderson or like my friend Kendall, who like is a really great artist, by the way, tells me that like, hey, AI is disrespecting or killing or whatever art, then I believe you, right?
Well, so it totally is.
So if Wes Anderson tells me that, then I can have whatever opinion I want, but it's irrelevant because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's pretty hard to say about yourself. I think you know what it takes to create a thing. so you know what it would be like to have all of that
just like taken and reproduced without any credit to you.
Yeah. Or worse, like takes what you do and why it takes so long for you to do it and then does it in 30 seconds and just cheapens it, right?
So I suppose, like, yeah.
You have the empathy. You might not have the experience of what it feels like, but you have the empathy to understand being ripped off.
Yeah.
Essentially is what it is.
Yeah. And there was probably a reason that people like Wes Anderson are the way that they are, is because they do take themselves and their art seriously. And I've been told many times in many different
just
ways.
Like likes.
Yeah. Well, I've been told many times in many different ways that I need to take myself more seriously. Sometimes it's from a position of trying to help me like get better at whatever I'm doing. And sometimes it's just because people are mean. But like, I don't take myself seriously at all. And I don't imagine that I ever really will. Like, it's just not who I am. And so maybe that's the difference. That's the difference between me and Wes Anderson.
I knew we were going to get to
it. Yeah, there it is. Is that he takes himself, his art seriously. He, you know, and maybe the rest of us just simply don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that I think that's yeah.
To be clear, I also lack all of the talent and motivation and skill that comes along with that. But, you know, I also don't take myself seriously.
Before we move on, favorite Wes Anderson movie that you've seen?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay, so you're in the animated column.
I am, yeah. You know,
did you like dogs as well?
Yes, yeah. But Fantastic Mr. Fox was just, it took me by such surprise.
Sure.
And I think I didn't really know what to expect going into it. And it took me down a path that I was really intrigued by. So it definitely is my favorite.
I am Zizi Sue.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. I went to go see Sue George, who is the explosive expert, the Puerto Rican gentleman who plays guitar on the boat.
Yeah.
He's a real musician.
Oh, cool.
So he did the Steve Zissou soundtrack at his concert.
Nice.
So it was all the songs and then all some of his hits and stuff. But yeah, the Zissou just, I mean, maybe it's the father-son dynamic that I dig so much. And I'm like, Bill Murray, will you be my dad?
Anything with Bill Murray though.
Right.
Aces.
But Angelica Houston is fucking amazing in it.
She's such a good actor.
Oh my God. And Owen Wilson, like I think it was right where he was like, I think I can continue to use Bill Murray all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Like it really kind of started to play with that. But yeah, that's my jam. I actually like had the red hat with the little fucking, oh yeah.
Wes Anderson, if you're listening to this, you want to DM me and tell me how you actually feel. I won't tell anyone.
Yeah. We won't record that.
No, but I'm curious now. So, you know, hit me up.
Get at us. Okay. So Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay. So when I saw Indiana Jones on the call sheet, I was so excited. Because Indiana Jones has just the most special ever place in my heart, and I can't wait to tell everybody the story.
Okay, so that's let me bring it up here, but that's the first question was, we can do this later, but the first question was best and worst. You have to pick a worst. Like you have to literally downgrade one of five movies to like the worst category because it's very tough.
Okay, first
where were you when Indiana came into your life?
When Indiana Jones came into my life. Okay, so this is one of my favorite stories. So I grew up for the first about 10 years of my life. I lived in Ottawa, Ontario, which is the capital of Canada. For those of you who are not from Canada joining us, I imagine it's our worldwide audience.
Yes. It's to our big following in India, which I'm pretty sure just listens to Learn English.
Excellent. Hey, well, you know, maybe don't listen to me then. Less swearing. But there was this, there's a theater in Ottawa called the Mayfair Theater. And it is sort of like an old school theater. It doesn't play first run movies. It does like second run movies.
Cult classics.
Yeah, cult classics and things like that. So right around the time that I was turning 8, so I was definitely just a little wee kid.
A wee lass.
There was the Indiana Jones trilogy was being played at the Mayfair Theater.
Back to back?
Back to back. And it was on a Saturday. And so just the context of
chronological?
This, yes. So this would have been like 1995, maybe.
Okay.
And so
And he's long gone at this point.
Yeah. And I'm a child, but my mom goes, okay, I think my mom wanted to go see this Indiana Jones trilogy, and it was right around the same time as my birthday. So she goes, I'm going to take Emily. We're going to go see Indiana Jones for her birthday. And I grew up in a household where what I was allowed to watch was extremely restricted. I had like very close parental
Finally,
controls.
Someone who feels my fucking pain.
Yeah. And so the idea that I was going to go see this like adult movie with all these adult themes with my mom, it was just like the most exciting thing of my entire life. So this was 8 hours in the theater. And we went through like 7 tubs of popcorn. And I,
oh my God,
like
salt,
you could like, my mom had to drag me out of there. Like she kept being like, oh my God, cover your eyes. She's like, oh, I forgot about this part. Like, cover your eyes. Like the face melting and things, like, she's like, don't look, don't look. And I could just hear the screaming, but I had my eyes covered. And that was worse, I think, than just watching it.
Yeah. Cause you were like,
yeah. Cause I was like, I didn't want her to take me out of the movie. So I didn't want to like, I wanted to do what she said. Cause I wanted to be there. But yeah, so that was my first exposure to Indiana Jones. And I don't think you can take an 8-year-old kid to something like that without creating like a weird, like core memory, lifelong attachment. And it's been that way ever since.
You supported grave robbing.
Yeah.
You supported womanizing.
Oh, big time. You... drinking. I wanted to be able to drink men under the table.
Oh,
shot
like
for
Marianne.
Shot. Yes. More than I ever wanted anything. I was like, that is so badass.
So first Indiana Jones. Lovely story.
Thank you.
By the way.
I'm so excited to share
Well, no,
that.
Because like first of all, movie marathon,
mm-hmm.
right? So like big deal. And then like knowing that you're breaking all of the rules that your friends can't.
Yes.
Which is seeing, and like those are scary. Like, okay, first opening sequence of Raiders, right?
Yeah.
You've got tarantulas.
Yes.
You've got spikes. You've got a boulder. You've got the ground falling out from under
mm-hmm.
you.
Arrows.
Right? And then the ground, and then the door shutting. Like,
yeah.
It's a thrill. No wonder it was a fucking ride at Disneyland for so long.
Right. No, honestly, there's so much scary stuff. And there's like, when you get to like Temple of Doom, right? It's ripping your heart out. It's monkey brains. It's.
Curtis, brother-in-law, knows that whole sequence cold. like he knows how to speak the language.
That's amazing.
It's insane.
But all of them, they're like snakes and bugs and rats
snakes.
And like, oh, it's a
wild.
Why did
it have to
be
snakes?
Exactly. And Harrison Ford, good Lord. Speaking of people who can at me, like still Harrison Ford to this day.
I get hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take Harrison Ford any day of the week. And yeah, just what's not to love? Like, that everything about it. We named the dog Indiana. Like, come on.
And River Phoenix is a young Indiana.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's just.
Indy.
Indy.
Sorry, we're calling him by his surname. My mom had, like, the crush, right?
Oh, yeah.
On those actors. So, like, my dad had the collection, but my mom is who I watched them with. I watched them by myself when I was at my dad's, but I'd watch them with my mom. Big Red was our blanket, and Raiders was the first one. And I had the same situation where she'd like try to cover my eyes, but I was like batting it away. I was
like
no,
let me watch.
No, yeah. We're watching this. And like, I never got shit like that. Never really scared me as a kid. Like,
yeah.
I always knew that face was badly CGI'd. Like, I knew that because I was like, look, there's plastic. Like, it's melting like the Tupperware left in the microwave for too long, right?
Ugh.
But no, it's a Friday night. Just me, mom, popcorn, Neapolitan ice cream on the couch, like going like 3 weeks in a row. Like,
absolutely.
All of them, right?
Yeah. You know,
because I think Raiders came out in 82, I think, the early 80s. Anyways.
Before my time.
Yeah. Like, I was 7 or 8 or 9 maybe when I...
See, it's the perfect time to watch Indiana Jones.
But their action... And like, when you realize that the action is what's scary outside of Temple of Doom, really, I think Temple of Doom is really the only... Like, Raiders isn't scary as in, like...
No, it's just violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, getting your head chopped off by, like, a propeller, right? That's gross.
But they cut.
Yeah.
Right? They just see the blood splatter,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's... It's enough that it passed the rating agency to
right.
allow for you, a parent and a child. I wish we were in the theater when it was originally dropped.
Yeah, you know, there's okay. So I can all of the Indiana Jones movies are fair game, right? If I want to say my favorite and least.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, but yeah. Let's yeah. So like everything's fair. Even you could even be like Indiana Jones the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles if you want.
Oh, jeez.
With Sean Patrick Flannery, like that's. That's deep cuts, but I mean, and this room will accept you if Crystal Skull is at the top of this list. Like, it's this is a safe space.
I have to say Crystal Skull is the worst, but I don't love saying it, you know, because I fucking love aliens. And the idea that, like, Indiana Jones and aliens combine.
You're telling me that you were okay with the Ark of the Covenant. You're telling me you're okay with demon possessions and ripping men's hearts out while they're still alive and beating, by the way. You're okay with Nazis burning books, but you draw the line at Crystal Skulls and aliens giving us secret technology? Go fuck yourself.
No, I'm saying I have to put it at the bottom because it's the worst, but I feel bad doing it because I love aliens.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, when people get butthurt.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about me. I was like, no, man, I'm on board. I love aliens.
No.
You know how
I
feel about sharks? That's how I feel about aliens.
This is my black demon.
Agreed. Yeah. No. Okay. So Kingdom of the Crystal Skull has to go at the bottom just because it just didn't capture the romp the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
But if it was a standalone movie, if it was like the first time I'd ever seen an Indiana Jones movie, it was just like old guy archaeologist who like came out of retirement to like go fight some aliens that he didn't realize were aliens, all about it. But my favorite, I think, is The Last Crusade.
The Penitent Man.
The Penitent Man. Yeah, the Penitent Man. The Penitent Man. And like the part where he was with his dad, I loved the
Indiana.
I loved the whole idea that, like, you know, the treasure hunt aspect of it, and
the father son road trip.
The father son road trip, exactly. And like I've read so much and like consumed so much. I have a literature, I guess, of like finding a diary, you know, and like, and that it sends you on a quest. And the idea that like you could have this dusty old book that would like take you to the most incredible secret places.
Jordan, Egypt.
And
the
so
the staff of Ra would be in your possessions.
And everything about it, I just love it. And I understand probably from like a purely like, I don't know if I
Puritan.
Standpoint that probably Raiders is like the better movie, but in my heart, I also love the wrap up of a trilogy. Like, I also think that Return of the Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Sure.
And so I think I just like when everything comes together and it all ends.
Well, but, and the thing is that they never made it so that each adventure was chronological, like the movie's chronological and it's a story, but like it wasn't like one movie ended, one movie picked up.
Right.
So you get like 2.5 hours of characters coming to their destinies and having happy endings and stuff.
Yeah.
So like that's, I get why wrapping a trilogy is awesome, because it's like you're in sixth gear of everybody's story.
Absolutely. And so I love it. I think there's an age thing that goes with that. I don't know. It seems like people my age.
And it's Mr. Connery.
Well, yes, Sean Connery is definitely impressive in that movie. But I just like the comedy aspect of that movie too, more than the others. I felt like
it had Junior.
Exactly. Right?
Junior.
It just like his dad berating him and he's like, I'm a fully grown man. I don't know. It just the whole thing, I loved it. I really like it.
No, I will put Crystal Skull at the bottom as well.
But begrudgingly, like, but it's not a
it's
bad not, movie.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I don't enjoy going there, but I put it there because of studio interference. I put it there because of $1 billion sales figures.
Yeah.
I don't put it there because it's a bad movie. I can see where the studio's like, no, we need this, right? And Shy needs to be here. Like,
yeah.
It just became so commercial. And that's the fear of when you take a beloved series and you bring it into today's side. You're also bringing it in to today's market.
Yes. And it's tough to do.
And that's what, like, let's do Back to the Future right now. Okay, with all the assholes online, you want to do that?
No.
You want to be completely out of business? Like, okay, let's do it all. Let's remake everything and make nothing count and make nothing stand for what it stood for then, good or bad.
Can you imagine if they remade, like, The Land Before Time?
Oh, get fucked.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Absolutely not.
Die.
Yeah.
Get stomped on by a Brachiosaurus. No, don't touch that
just
shit.
Be as dead as, go be as dead as Littlefoot's mother.
Right? Ferngully?
Oh, well, they kind of, in my mind, they remade Ferngully when they made the fucking blue people movie.
The Avatar.
Avatar,
yeah.
But yeah, no, Ferngully, come on.
It's Ferngully VR. but yeah, so bottom is there just because of the studio interference and quality of how a movie comes to market now. I go Raiders.
Yeah.
I'd go Raiders to the... It's Raiders last temple skull.
Do you know, when I was a kid, though, like the... my brain just farted out. The middle one, the Temple of Doom. When I was a kid, Temple of Doom was my favorite, and I think it's just because of the gore.
It is. It steps like for the first movie, which is like doesn't want to use a gun, right? Like that's not his jam. Has this whip, does all these like heroic things, is an everyman. Like there's so many things about Indiana Jones that you know you are respectable.
You can kind of believe that he's an archaeologist who just gets drawn into nonsense in the first
right?
one. Yeah,
like he's just trying to find the cross.
Yeah,
and then gets on like on a boat by mistake.
Yeah,
right. And all these, which is so great about Last Crusade because it's like an early and then later in life bit.
Yeah,
right. Where it gives you a little bit of like how he came to be, which I was like, that was bold. That's not a lot of shit that you do at that, like that. That's not what you do at the time of making movies.
Love it. I can see Harrison Ford behind your head just now that I look, but obviously it's Han Solo.
Yeah, no, I have no more room in here. I have no room for shit. I want more room. But yeah, Raiders, because like there's so many, like Marion doing the drinking game.
Yeah. Oh, so badass.
And then the woman stands up and she's like,
yeah.
The grabbing. Of the amulet where his hand burns, right?
And he's got it on his hand after
going camels.
when he lights up the like chamber,
right?
Oh, fucking so
and
cool.
The fucking giant, like, and like when you watch it the first time, you're like, what is that giant thing? Whatever.
Damn it, I want to go home and watch it now.
But then you go back and watch it, and you're like, that's Osiris, or that's Ra, or that's some crazy Egyptian thing, right? And then you realize where he is, and like, then you realize that the Ark, like Indiana Jones as a kid. Is like a fun archaeologist adventure about history that you know fuck all about.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones as an adult who believes in conspiracy theories and aliens is the best shit ever. Because you're like, I wonder if the Ark is in Ethiopia like they say it is.
Should we go look?
Right? I wonder if the Crystal Skull, it doesn't have a single crack or a place where you even shown it was made with an actual laser. Like, these things exist. So it's like the closest you get to that shit. And he's... So yeah, Raiders, Crusade, Temple.
Yeah, yeah, Temple's got some Crystal. got some ish definitely, but it just they're all fun. And now that I'm telling this story, I'm thinking my kids are older than I was when I saw it, so perhaps I might.
You
get
should
them
you should
in
be like
for...
you should be like the rating system. Just you should make this. I think this would be funny if you made a video of you as the rating system. And you explain to your kids what they're about to see in the movie. You don't spoil it.
No.
But you explain it in like booby trap like scenarios.
Scenes of violence and...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you should just walk in and be yourself and then walk off camera. And then you can be like, you need to watch this, girls. This is what you're about to see so that they're a little prepared.
Because
I could see when... what's his dick? Oh, shit. He plays Dr. Oz in Spider-Man. The actor.
Oh yes.
He's this guy. He's Indy's guide.
He's his guide in the when he goes
in Raiders.
Yeah.
When they go into the temple. Yeah. Oh my god! I was like, that's a younger version of that actor whose name I don't really know right now. Anyways, next question. If you were in a scenario, do you think you have whip skills?
Oh, god.
Could you a full on same replica Indiana Jones whip?
What am I supposed to be doing with it?
Well, I mean, you are married.
Am I swinging across a crevice?
Sure.
Or am I trying to hurt somebody?
You're in both scenarios.
All right.
And then you're making Dan behave.
I have a good throwing arm. So I would like to think that given just like a couple chances to figure it out, that I would be able to figure out how to use it appropriately.
Appropriately.
Given the scenario. Whatever.
With manners.
Yeah. But I think that I'm also extremely clumsy. So the chances of me hurting myself or hurting someone else unintentionally, very, very high.
You would be like River Phoenix when he cracks the whip the first time. And then he cuts his lip.
Yes, that would be me 100%. Also, I'm very stubborn. So that would not be the end of it
for
me.
You keep cutting your lip.
Yes. Yeah, you basically just are creating Indiana Jones, I think, if you give me a whip. Like Indiana Jones. Yeah.
I've used a whip before.
How did that go?
Well, I mean, I didn't whip anybody.
That's good.
But like, I've cracked a long whip before, and it's
is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, long lines of cracking the whip, well into the morning. But I understand the feel for it, and I'm fairly certain I could defend, I could attack, maybe
wrist but action,
I,
right?
Yeah. Well, it's
arm. I would imagine
it's like a. Because you need to get the flip all the way through the.
this video is going to be ridiculous. It's maybe like
CGI
like,
in
like fly fishing.
Yeah, it's on the wrist, right?
Well, no, I hit myself in the head.
Apparently, it's not all.
So
the
there
wrist.
You go.
Yeah, but fly fishing, you're like tricking the fish into thinking something's coming, and then you cast. So the fish is like watching the fly in the air. I think that's the purpose of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Anyway, I
like fishing almost as much as I like camping.
I'm a good
so.
Towel whip.
Oh, you're so like yeah. He's like one of those. Okay, yeah.
Like I've open skin.
Ooh.
I was a camp counselor for a couple of years. And when you thought about crossing your camp counselor with a wet towel after a swim run?
Yeah.
Like you don't do it again if it's me who hits
kids
you.
Don't send your or parents don't send your kids to camp where Mike's the counselor.
Oh, I would not be allowed to now. No, no. But
back in the day when a little bit of child abuse was fine.
Do you think like? We'll do this first, and then we'll do predictions. Do you think that somebody, God forbid, I know, clutch your fucking pearls. Do you think a young Indiana could be done? Do you think that's what this is? Do you think that this $300 million is an investment into re-spark? Because it's been two movies. He says he's done. He's 80 fucking years old. He's going to either crash a plane or die in a movie set somewhere else. He's got to make more Shining or whatever the fucking Apple show he's on. Shrinking.
Shrinking, yeah.
So, yeah, like who could, because, I mean, Chris Pratt's been floated.
No, they definitely could do a younger Indiana because they're also, that's how trend is going right now, right? Like, I think they're also looking at doing a younger 007 maybe
that well the people that they've asked to cast for them to audition for them I should say have been older.
Oh good, okay.
But there have also been some younger, so maybe they're playing with like who was asked to what's his face, the guy who's playing Craven, Aaron Taylor Johnson was asked to dance in a tuxedo, which is, I don't know if you know that, they say come in, put a tuxedo on, and walk in and be Bond.
I love it.
And they're just like, dance for me, monkey.
Dance for me, Bond. I would imagine that there is nostalgia money to be milked from the Indiana Jones franchise, which means that if they make a young Indiana, I will go see it along with everybody else who I know that's seen every Indiana Jones movie. So I would imagine from a purely money perspective, yes, indeed.
I could stand seeing Indiana and his father's, how the relationship broke.
I mean, you know what? I would enjoy to see that. I you get tastes of it, right? And so I would enjoy that as well.
I think a series would be too much. I think they'd get like long in the tooth about it and really try to be like, and this part of Indy's life and this part of Indy's life.
Yeah.
But and you can throw 10 different scenarios.
But a few early movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could dig it.
Like how?
Ah, that was an archaeology joke. I didn't even mean it.
Wow. She's here all week. Try the veal.
Except don't, because I'm a vegetarian.
Well, yeah, veal would be the worst. you don't want the adult version? You want the baby version of that meal? Do you think Dial of Destiny? Because Dial of Destiny, I understand, is based on Archimedes' dial.
Okay.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, is a compass for basically interstellar
like magic. Okay, in my brain, I just want to point out that Archimedes is an owl in my mind because of the
sword in the stone.
I just want to point that out to our listeners.
That must have been weird for you to hear.
No.
Archimedes, why is there an owl?
Yes, the dial of the owl.
Why is there a talking owl in Indiana Jones here? I'm going to bring it up, but like, do you think this is going to be a good one? Because it's like, it's got Mads Mikkelsen can do no wrong.
Yeah.
It's bringing back the Russians. It's in the 60s, I believe. 60s or 70s, I believe.
I believe we're back to the Russians being the bad guys now.
But that's the thing, is that it ties in some old Russian stuff that is unresolved. I don't think this is completely new script. I think there might be some play as to
you know what?
Past lives.
I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it just like I've loved every other Indiana Jones movie.
Okay, so apparently Archimedes built this in 213 BC.
Okay.
And it's said to be capable of locating fissures in time.
Ooh.
So that is why.
Fly fissures,
listener,
do you think?
No. That is why we have a young Indy. Because something Indy did during the Nazi reign, when he was trying to bring down the Nazis, we make him young again.
Right.
So there's going to be time travel in this.
Oh, I love time travel.
There's going to be some sort of ability to crack a fissure in time and change the future, right? Days of Future Past, Back to the Future, time travel.
I love it. You know what? Give me Indiana Jones. Give me time travel. Give me aliens. If you have an Indiana Jones with a shark on deck, I'm in.
Well, we also get, I believe it's Marcus's granddaughter or daughter, which is Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
All right.
Did you watch Fleabag?
Nope.
Oh, my. I remember when I said Menu?
Yes. Oh, my God. That movie was so good.
I think this might be another Menu for you.
Okay. Excellent. I will watch it then because that movie was just.
Yeah. She's fantastic. It was a play that was turned into a 3-season show, and she breaks the fourth wall. You go along on the ride with Fleabag.
Okay.
And she's, you know what? She's like a Hank Moody. She's a male version, female version of Hank Moody.
All right.
So like just fucking around, fucking up, fucking over, fucking out. Like
I'm in it. Yeah. I'm in. I love it.
And she's a writer too. So she can write chops. She can write laughter. Right. So
nice.
I think that's what she did on this too. So I'm here all year. Like I really am. Like you can't, I can't, it's him. If he shows up, like he always shows up,
yep,
then it doesn't matter what's going on around him. It matters very little. It just matters how he reacts to everything.
You know what? Yeah, you can throw me Indiana Jones in any scenario and I'm going to love it. So
you imagine if they like had Indiana Jones and he had like his son or grandson and we've got Indiana Jones doing archaeological digs in 2023.
I love it.
That would like what would be like, would it be like something in King Tut? Right. Like something because they haven't touched on King Tut.
Yeah.
Which would be great to do like another pyramid thing, but like a different
something that's
like a
everyone
curse.
Knows. Oh, yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, the curse of opening up the Ark is always the part of that. And the Last Crusade, the cup of Christ, the curse of the cup, the wrong cup. The
you
curse
chose
of,
poorly.
Right. Do you remember the Coke commercial they did for that?
No.
Where like someone grabs a Pepsi and he's like, he chose poorly. Then he goes to the cop. He's like, you've chosen wisely.
Nice. I bet Jesus loves that.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, I think good things for Indy.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Are you going to go see it opening weekend?
Probably not, just because I don't like crowds anymore.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But I will definitely see it in theaters.
Yeah. Movie theater crowds, different kind of crowd this time of year. I don't know what it is. There's a different crowd in the wintertime than there is in the summertime.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of like crowds of people the way I used to be. The older I get, the more I just want my space, man.
I'm like, put me in the back row at the end of the aisle.
I also, like, the whole theater experience is losing its luster for me a little bit. I
How dare
be,
you speak ill of my church?
I want to be at home. I want to be on my sofa. I want to, like.
But I'd say to you, you didn't do that before COVID.
I know,
so COVID made you do that.
That's okay. I'm going to pause it if I need to pee, you know, like all the things.
Yeah, but the shared experience, the excitement, the room full of people just like you.
Well, I have Dan for that.
Oh. Well, yeah, I know. But the room full of people, the people, not the partner, the people.
I guess so.
Right? The strangers.
I get to come here and have my shared experience with you guys.
I know you can, but I'm not a movie theater. I mean, I have a projector, but like I'm not what a movie theater gives.
No, I know.
The movie lover.
It doesn't have the same draw for me as it used to. But
I get it.
But I will. And most of the movies we see in theaters now are because Dan really wants to see them in theaters.
Well, you need to see them in theaters. The idea of seeing The Flash at home would be sacrilegious.
Yeah, like the Marvel movies and like the things like The Flash and
Meg.
Yeah, we saw Top Gun. Of course, you have to see that in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do it. I don't go to, like, I'm not going to see. I'll watch The Little Mermaid at home, but I'm not going to go to the theater to see it.
Yeah, I have friends who see, like, every movie in theaters, and it's just.
That's a lot of work.
And that's, yeah, and, like, it's just not for me.
Yeah.
I want cheaper snacks
Like, and I could go to every movie, and but then all it'd be, like, that's just ridiculous. Yeah, like, I need a fucking
And, like,
life.
They make me wear pants when I go. Like, just, you know, all the things that I want, I just want to do at home. No pants.
You know what? This is a perfect time to end the show so we can both take our pants off.
Yes!
At our designated homes. I mean, I'm fine, but I'm just saying, probably we don't need to put that on camera. thank you for listening to another Real Talk listener. Much appreciated. For me and Emily, right, Emily?
Absolutely.
If this is your first time, give us more shots. Go backwards. Listen to a bunch of other episodes. Not all of them are great. I don't care, though. That's how we learned to do this. And if you think this is good, there was a place where it wasn't. And it's really fun to listen to. So you can go back and listen to all those episodes. We took some down. I haven't really said this in a while, but we've taken the early, why did we post those? Like, the rule is you're not supposed to post the first one.
Boo, like, remember where you came from.
Right, but exactly. So there is a place to show you where we came from. It's just a lot less shitty than it was before, or a lot bit more less shitty. Whatever. Yeah, point is, you can go backwards or subscribe so everything that's coming out is new, and that's the easiest way to support the show. And it's free. Nobody has to do anything. You just have to press subscribe, and we'll make you laugh again. And if we've made you laugh like three times, you'd kind of owe us a subscription, I think. Like
we're still small enough that we appreciate every single subscription that we get. So if you do hit that subscribe button, just know that we see you and we appreciate you.
Yeah, you will not be lost.
No.
in a ether of downloads. We'll know. We'll see you. And
yep. And Mike will send us all of the data. Be like, look, someone new's downloading us in this country, and we'll all go, oh. And that could be you.
Do you want to be the O?
Do you want to make us go, oh?
It'll be the O in my Thursday.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's how you do it. But if you really want to support the show, head to the link in our bio, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Real Debaters Pod on Instagram and Twitter, REEL. Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook, and at RD Pod Shorts on YouTube for our video shit. The link in our bio and all those sites is like the long list of all of the things that we all do. There's Emily's Dodgeball is in there for Instagram, Martin and Jimmy's comedy, Charles Nerdgasm, Ian with Ian and Diamond, Mark Comics. Rob's just a really great family man and doesn't give a shit about sharing content. So that's why he's not there. But all of us are there, and you can donate to our cause if you want. There's shit you'll get in return for that. There's a list of things. You want to control Emily for an episode and make her talk about what you want to talk about? We can do that.
Is that on there?
It
I
is.
Don't think I signed up for that.
No, you didn't sign up for anything you don't want to do. It's just someone gets to be like, Emily, this is what we're going to talk about this week.
I love
and this
it.
Is what I want to hear Emily talk about. So we don't have a choice in the matter. If they donate, they get to create.
I love that. You can also go and buy our gear, and the Emily Real Debater shirt is still the most popular selling on our store. So if you want to be one of the cool kids, you can go get an Emily Mass Debater t-shirt.
Again, all of that in the link in our bio. Just hit it, and then you can see all the stuff and all the breakdowns are there. I won't bore you with all those details. It's very self-explanatory, and there's a little bio and everything, because I don't shut the fuck up, clearly, as this is still going on. So thank you again to all of you people who listened. I have been Michael Petro.
And I have been Emily Clark.
And you should watch all the movies, kids. Say bye, Emily.
Bye, Emily.
Bye.
Spanish ladies.